ako ang dalan, ako ang kamatuoran, ako ang kinabuhi, waray makakaabot haakon amay, kundiri pinaagi haakon. And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. That's one of the five languages spoken in the island where we go. And I am excited, very excited what the Lord is going to do. And even now, we are asking the Lord to go ahead of us to prepare the souls, prepare the spirit, to prepare the hearts of the people that we're going to minister to. It's been a good journey so far, 18 months, and now we're on our way. Just pray with us and pray for us. And I would like also to echo Brother Rodney has said, and when we did our training in a mission, in our mission board headquarters, he said, when you go on deputation, prepare to gain weight. Maybe between 5 to 10 pounds. I kind of figured out that it will go into happen. But the Lord has been good. He provided everything that we could ask for. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Tanging si Jesus ang siyang umaku. Kasalan at karumhan nilinis ng dugo. Sabi ng Panginoon, mahina ka anak, ang lahat mong pasanin sa akin ay ilagay. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Tanging si Jesus ang siyang umaku. Kasalan at karumhan nilinis ng dugo. Amen. The word of the day is dugo. Dugo means the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, again, my name is Brother Romeo. My wife's name is Rose. She's not able to make to this mission conference because of severe migraine when I left. But she's able to get in and out of the room. But after she gets her food, she has to go back inside the room because she doesn't like lights. So we changed all our LED lights to the incandescent lights because it's not bright for her eyes. A couple of years ago, my wife and I went to a missionary boot camp. And we were the oldest folks in that group, along with others who don't know yet their calling. We have some doctors, we have some nurses, teachers, lawyers in that boot camp of mission for missionaries that didn't know if they're called to be something. But they tried and trying to find out what it's going to be. I mean, at the end of the week, it's just, you know, it's either yes or no. You're going to be in a mission field or not. But at any rate, we survived. That was the only camp we attended in our lives. I got saved very late in my life aboard a ship. And we never knew what camp. Our children went to summer camp, Christian summer camp, and they tell us story what it's all about. So we decided we got to go. We need to experience this, because when we get to the field, we need to share what we've experienced here. And we also attended a few mission conferences just like you have, and had a few short mission trips to the Philippines. And we did complete the missionary training 18 months ago. And these camps, these trainings, and trips give us tremendous insight of folks who are desperate to hear the gospel. The themes of this year's mission conference is constrained by love, from 2 Corinthians 5:14. In the Bible, it's already been explained. Constrained is an old-fashioned word for compels or urges strongly, has already been, I said, defined often due to an inner or divine force. It describes being driven by a powerful influence, such as the love of Christ, to act in a certain way, or the Holy Spirit urging righteous behavior. It's that love which controls, motivates, compels, or strongly urges all of us, you and I, to share and to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul further explains in verse 15 that they which live shall not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. The passage emphasizes a fundamental shift in the purpose of life, moving from self-centered living to a life devoted to Christ, who died and rose again for them. This gospel story of our Savior needs to be told. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh I live by the faith of the Son, who loved me and gave himself for me. So, I've been asked, why go back to your third world country when most Filipinos wanted to leave the country? You are already here. You have attained. You have retired. Just enjoy life and enjoy the fruits of your labor. So there's a lot of why? Why? Because even the forgotten people of the island of Samar and other people in other parts of the world needed to hear the gospel, of which Jesus Christ died for them also. And since we're missionaries, our devotion this evening is about mission. The Great Commission, to be exact, from Mark chapter 16, verse 15. So let's get to it. The word mission came from the Latin word missio, meaning one sent off, the act of sending or dispatching, same root word of that of a missile. And you probably know this. The words mission, missions, or missionary are not found in the Bible. But this is for certain. It is illustrated and commended in the scripture and have become part of our Christian vocabulary. The other meaning of mission or missions has come to be associated with those who seek to take the gospel to different cultures. And by the way, you don't have to ride, just like us coming from the East Coast, you don't have to ride 35, 37 hours to get to your field. You don't have to ride dilapidated boat to get to your mission field. You don't have to ride buses or jeepneys or tricycle and carabaos, because wherever you may be, that is your mission field. That is our mission field. So what about missions? Let's stand, if you're able, please, stand with me. We're going to read just one verse, Mark 16:15. Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. These are the last few words of our Savior before he ascended into heaven. There are other few parallel passages in the scripture of the same context of the Great Commission. Matthew 28:8-19-20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you even unto the end of the world. Acts 1:8, ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Luke 24:47-48. And the repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. I see verbs here. Teach, witness, preach. And I see people in all the world, all nations, uttermost part of the earth. If I understood this correctly, outside of Downers Grove, maybe towards Naperville, maybe towards Chicago, and outside of Illinois and to the uttermost part of the earth, Jesus commanded to proclaim the good news to all people groups, all races, to all countries. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, Lord, what a privilege it is to be part of Market Manor Mission Conference. I pray, Lord God, that you be with us in the next few minutes. Hide me, Lord, behind the cross. May the words that I would see, Lord, will be coming, oh Lord, from your scripture, from your word. Bless each one that is represented, Lord. And if anyone here doesn't know you personally as Lord and Savior, may this will be the day of their salvation. So, Lord, be with us. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated, please. Charles Spurgeon said this: every soldier of the cross must obey the marching orders of Christ, our great commander. By way of introduction, let's summarize Mark chapter 16, verse 1 to 14. In verses 1 to 8 is the interaction between Mary Magdalene along with the other women and a young man clothed in white garment when they came to see the tomb of Jesus 3 days after he was buried. The young man clothed in white garment told the women that the tomb was empty and instructed the women to tell Jesus' disciples, including Peter, to meet him in Galilee as he instructed them prior. In verse 9 to 13, the Lord Jesus showed himself to Mary, confirming that he indeed is alive. And so Mary narrated what she experienced, what she saw, what she heard to the disciples of Jesus Christ. But some, there's a couple of words there, but some believe not. Verse 14, the Lord Jesus appeared unto his 11 disciples 30 days after his resurrection. He kind of, again, rebuked them, reprimanded them, upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. You see, this man was with Jesus for the last 3 years and saw firsthand what kind of power Jesus possessed. During Jesus' earthly ministry, he raised a few individuals from the dead. If he was able to raise others from the dead, surely he can raise himself, which he promised he would, and whom some of the prophets prophesied. And finally, verse 15, the Lord Jesus, he spoke to his disciple and gave his last command before he ascended into heaven, and the command was to go. 2 Corinthians 5:14 emphasizes that Christ's love compels us, you and I, to do extraordinary things that non-believers won't do. This profound love demonstrated in his death for humanity's sin is the ultimate driver for every aspect of a believer's life. Evangelism is the core command of Mark 16:15. It's not a burden, but an overflowing, loving response to what Christ had done. It is the desire to share the gift of salvation with others that motivates believers to obey the Great Commission. So the intent of our devotion this evening is not just to encourage us regarding mission, but also to challenge, to stir, to agitate, to disturb our hearts, our souls, and our mind regarding personal in world evangelization. Just a reminder, I heard this one time. It says the word of God comforts those who who are agitated and agitates those who are comfortable. So what was his last instruction all about? There are three takeaways, three main points to consider with regards to the mission, to mission in verse 15. First, mission is a passion of Christ. In our text, go ye. And he said unto them, go ye. It is the resolve. It is the heart. It is the nature and character of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If mission was not in our Savior's heart, he would not have ordered his disciples to go. Why? Because even he himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, went all of Galilee teaching and preaching. Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went out all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Matthew 18:11. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. Jesus preached salvation to the lost souls. Luke 19:10. Luke penned almost word for word what was in Matthew 18:11. Emphasizing and adding another verb, seek. But this time he was talking to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is probably a small guy just like me. Why? Because Zacchaeus was on top of the sycamore tree when Jesus came through Jericho. He was one of the wealthy IRS collectors of their time, during their time. A publican. And who was the other publican, by the way, in the Bible? Matthew. Maybe Matthew and Zacchaeus worked side by side. Or maybe when Matthew was called, as he walked along with the other disciples with Jesus Christ, he encountered Zacchaeus. Maybe Matthew said, hey, Zac, we're going to your place. Why don't you check out my master? Why don't you check out Jesus Christ, my Lord? And that's what he did, probably Matthew. Zacchaeus did. Because when Jesus Christ went through the river along Jericho and he saw and he stopped where Zacchaeus was on top of the sycamore tree and he said, you need to come down because I'm going to stay in your place. There's salvation going to happen today. Zacchaeus confesses. You know, when you are confronted with your sin, you confess. Zacchaeus confesses that he distributes half of his wealth to the poor. He pays back four times if he accuses a person wrongly. Jesus says in verse 10, For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And by the way, like what the prayer said earlier, if there's anybody here that is not saved yet, your soul is still lost, you need to take care of this before you go home. The Lord is seeking for you and to the saved ones. Do you remember the day you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ? Were you seeking Jesus on your own? I know I wasn't. I was belligerent because I have some plans in my head. We're going to Thailand. Sailor going to Thailand, going to the Philippines, going to South Korea. We got a lot of plans. And I don't want to know who God is and who Jesus Christ is. But towards the end of the evening, before we parted, I surrendered. I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ and gave my life to Him. And He saved me. You see, Jesus came down from heaven with one thing in His mind. And He passionate in His heart to seek and to save those that are lost. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35 to 37, Jesus woke up early and found a place to be alone and pray. Simon and the other apostles followed him and told the Lord Jesus that all men were looking for him. Jesus answered as if he never heard what the apostles were saying. Mark 1:38, and he said unto them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. There's urgency in Jesus' words, knowing that he only had few years on earth. He says, let's do mission in other towns. During the President's Day this year, sometime in February, a good friend of mine, a Master Chief, a Nuke Master Chief, called me. He said, Romeo, Brother Romeo, there is soul winning going on the whole day there in Suffolk. Would you like to come? I said, yes, Master Chief. Romeo, don't call me Master Chief. We're already retired. But I still respect you. I'm just going to call you Master Chief. Yes, we will go. I will go with you. So we arrived there around 9 o'clock, gathered everybody. Oh, this is an old church visitation. Two busload full of door knockers, of soul winners from 7 years old all the way to the oldest person. We even have two couples there that were in the wheelchair. We were there knocking doors from 10 in the morning until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You know what's so good about holidays? During the winter time, people are in their houses. When they open, when you knock on the door, they will open because they got no place to go. On that Saturday, dozens and dozens of souls get saved through door knocking. And three souls get baptized in the middle of winter. There was a truck that was towing this bathtub that was heated. So three souls get baptized that winter time. And the pastor said, well, since we had a good result today, we'll come back Monday, which is the actual holiday. So we did the same thing from 10 o'clock in the morning until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. 101 souls got saved. Two more souls get baptized, and even the policeman who was watching us got saved too. What I'm saying this is because if you're available, the Lord is going to use you. If we just open our mouth. If we just lovingly tell them the love of Jesus. During Jesus' time, there were two roads from Judea to the northern territory of Galilee. One is shorter than the other, and devout Jews avoided the route for Samaria and preferred the longer one than to travel among people they detested. The Bible says in John 4:4, and he must needs go through Samaria. The must in this verse was not a necessity imposed by geographical restrictions, but rather the route through Samaria was a necessary way because there was a needy Samaritan woman waiting to hear what the Savior has to offer. Let's look closer at this text. In John 4, verses 7 to 15 is the interaction between the Lord Jesus and the Samaritan woman. Verse 7, Jesus was the one asking for a drink. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Jump to verse 15. After their encounter, after their interaction, though she hasn't fully grasped what kind of water Jesus offering here, she's the one asking for it. Verse 15, the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not. After the encounter, she left Jesus, convicted of all of her sins, convinced of who Jesus is. The woman then left the water pot in verse 28 and went her way into the city and saith to the man, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Among other Bible scholars say that this is the first missionary woman in the scripture. Jesus' heart was filled with love for the lost. He went the route other Jews were not there. In our daily conversation, there's one person waiting to hear the gospel. But we avoid talking to people. They might get offended, you say. Or we might lose our jobs. But we can talk to them in a loving and a graceful way. Share the love that Jesus has given to you. And let that love overflow to the folks that needed to hear the gospel. When was the last time we purposely went through Jesus' mouth? When was the last time we walked Jesus' path? When was the last time we shared the gospel? When was the last time we invited folks to church? When was the last time we gave out tracts? On February 16, President Trump, whether you like him or not, as a person, signed an executive order establishing faith office in the White House, a task force to eradicate anti-Christian bias And let me read a portion of what the executive order is. Quote, but my administration will not tolerate anti-Christian weaponization or unlawful conduct targeting Christians. The law protects the freedom of Americans and groups of Americans to practice their faith in peace, and my administration will enforce the law and protect these freedoms. My administration will ensure that any unlawful and improper conduct, policies, or practices that target Christians are identified, terminated, and rectified. So with this executive order, we don't have any more excuse. We can share the Lord Jesus Christ and His salvation to folks around us. Here are some statistics. I like statistics because it's numbers. It won't lie. According to Gallup Research, 47% of the U.S. populations are considered unchurched. Out of this 47%, 85% of these unchurched folks said no one invited them to church. If I know what my math of 330 million Americans, that's 132 million folks that said no one invited them to church. So let's put this in perspective here, right? Some of us are still working. We're going back to work tomorrow. Tomorrow. We're going back to work tomorrow. And there is 47% of your co-workers are in church. And out of that, 85% said, hey, nobody invited me to church. That's us. If it's Jesus' passion to tell lost souls about His free salvation, should it be our passion too? Let's challenge all ourselves. It's not just the pastor's job. It's not just the deacon's job to invite folks to church. The command to go was not just for the 11 people during that time, the 11 remaining apostles. It extended, being extended to all of us that know Christ as Lord and Savior, to go out there and invite folks to receive the gospel. And if you don't like, here's a good one. Here. Let me give you some examples. If you don't like door knocking or giving out tracts or sending email, there are probably dozens and dozens of names in your cell phones. Right? In the old days, Pastor, there's two fingers on the yellow page. You remember that, what it says? It says, let your fingers do the walking. Why don't you use your fingers do the witnessing? When we were in the West Coast a few months ago, I read an article that says these are 13 reasons why people justify committing sins. The first one, it says, I'm only human. The second one, it says, I'm not perfect. Number 7, for some reason, seems like a Christian would say, the blood of Jesus Christ covered all my sins. And I picked 12 names on my messenger and a couple more dozen on my regular phone directory. And I sent him out and put down at the bottom, Romans 3:23. 36 people. It came back. It says, I'm one of the folks, or some of the folks says, I use number 1 as my excuse why I commit sin. A few says, I use number 2. Why I justify why I commit sin. And a lot says, I use number 7. And by the way, what is Romans 3:23? That's a good question, right? Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then I send it back. You know what's so good about that? Because when you just hit sin, it goes to the 12 and the other 24. And then I add it again. Romans 6:23, send it out. See, you don't have to go out there if you don't like to talk to people. Use your cell phones. Bring them to church, because your friends that doesn't know Christ, they need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the gospel. Understand. God had only one everlasting, eternal begotten Son, and He made Him a missionary. First, mission is the passion of Christ. Secondly, missions is the hope of the condemned. Back to our text. Mark 16:15, he preached the gospel to every creature. Jesus ordered to preach the gospel to all people of every tribe, of every ethnicity, all color and race. There's another motivation that strongly urges us, you and I, because all human beings, including us here in this auditorium, at one point were condemned to hell until we had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Every individual that have not trusted or doesn't believe Christ are all condemned. The Bible says in John 3:18, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Now, there's statistics. We know that there are 8 billion people plus in the entire world. According to JoshuaProject.net, of this 8 billion, about 2,145 people groups are without a copy of the Bible in their own language. 99 out of 100 largest people groups without a copy of the Bible are in Asia. 60% of the world population are Asians. That is 4.8 billion people. The Lord Jesus talked to all people, young and old, and in between ages. He spoke to the rich and to the destitute, as recorded in Matthew 19:16-22, Mark 10:17-27, Luke 18:18-27. Jesus engaged in discussion with the rich folks, of which some went to hell, an awful place of torment. Let's look at Luke 18:18-27. There was a rich young ruler asked Jesus, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" I like this question. If somebody come up to you, you're a Christian, you're a believer, if somebody come up to you, "What must I do? What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" I would be raising my hand. Hey, could I answer your question? We should be eager to answer this kind of question. We should be enthusiastic to give the answer. Jesus enumerated 5 of the 10 commandments with regards to human relationship in verse 20. "Now knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother." Which the young man responded, "That all these things have I kept since youth up." Verse 21. Jesus didn't even rebuke the guy, the rich man. He just told him to distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And upon hearing this, the young ruler went away sorrowful, for he was very rich. By the way, don't we sometimes give excuses to our Lord? The Lord probably will see somebody and he tug your heart, tug your arm. Say, "Hey, that guy over there, he's ready to receive the gospel. Why don't you go talk to him?" We're just like Moses, right? "Lord, I'm not eloquent in my speech." But there is an opportunity that sometimes we just don't want to go through. Sometimes, probably, you have some work here in church. This big church, there's a lot of things that need to be done. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. So, pastor will say, "Hey, spring cleaning. And pastor, I got to go somewhere. I'll see you next 2 weeks. Excuse." Luke 16:20-27. This is a story about poor Lazarus and a rich man in Luke 16, right? Both died and the rich man was being tormented in hell, when Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. Verse 27. Then he, the rich man, said, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him my father to my father's house, for I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest thee also come into this place of torment. Preach the gospel that even those who are condemned in hell wanted, desired and longed for. The lost souls here on earth may not recognize it, but those condemned souls in hell are begging to send somebody to reach out to the lost in their household. Their desire, their wish, is that someone would visit their families and testify God's grace. Their hope is Christ. Their hope is mission. Why? Because they are prisoners who needed to be freed from their sins, freed from the devil by the sin of greed, addiction, pornography, and hate, imprisoned by suffering all kinds of pains and griefs, by fears and anxiety. It may be already too late, those condemned souls in hell. However, there are still people in their circle of friends, family, and acquaintances that are alive and are eager to hear God's salvation. Dr. Yu, one of my professors there at Tabernacle Seminary, said this: no man is prepared to live until he's prepared to die. And no man is prepared to die until he's prepared to meet God. And no man is prepared to meet God until he has met the Son of God. Let me ask this question. What thrills you as a Christian, as a witness for Christ, as an ambassador for Christ? Is it the simplicity of the gospel, or is it the sufficiency of the gospel? You see, the gospel is both simple and sufficient. If one has a childlike faith, it's sufficient enough to save a soul. Calling upon the name of the Lord by faith, it's simple enough to save a lost soul. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can't add anything what the Lord Jesus had already accomplished. It is finished, he said, tetelestai. If this word is used in business, it means the debt has been fully paid. In the court system, it means the sentence has been fully served. In military terms, it means the battle has been fully won. So rest in the finished work of the cross. Tetelestai. Jesus fought the battle. You and I get the victory. It is finished. Here's another question. What troubles you as a Christian? As a witness for Christ, as ambassador for Christ, is it the ignorance of so many lost souls outside of this building, or is it the indifference of so many Christians like us? Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The question is not will the heathen be saved if we do not send them the gospel, but rather, are we obedient to God's command if we do not preach or send someone to preach the gospel? Our pastor already quoted Romans 10:14 and 15, but let me read it to you anyway. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? Again, those names in your phones. Would not know Jesus if you and I would not tell them. Lift your fingers to the witnessing. The lost would not know what salvation is if you don't share the good news. There's only one name who can save the lost, and that's Jesus Christ. Your friends, your relatives, they're condemned in hell, could have found out that there's a way out if we told them. First, missions is the passion of Christ. Secondly, missions is the hope of the condemned. Lastly, missions is the barometer of the church. Mark 16:15, our text, it says, go into all the world. It is the yardstick. It is the measuring tool. It is the measuring scale and the temperament of the church with regards to personal and world evangelization could be measured. Hence, you and I, us, we're all driven by this inner influence, the love of Christ. So where is my mission field, you ask? Where is my own little world? Individually or as a church, this last point will determine the temperature of our involvement in missions here at Market Mono Church, Baptist Church, and the outermost part of the earth. The last command of Jesus must have been one of the dearest desires of his heart. Since salvation through Christ has been provided for all, then it must be proclaimed to all. Why? Because the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ and his church, local church, your church, is missions. to preach the gospel here and abroad. If we receive God's forgiveness and overflowing grace, we must share this to all. Go ye into all the world. This was a command. It wasn't a suggestion. The late missionary Samuel Ironside said this: interest in missions is not an elective in God's university of grace. It is something in which every disciple is expected to major. You all probably heard this before that says, the church that does not evangelize will fossilize. So then, the question is, how can we remedy the health of the church regarding missions? I don't say your church is going that route, but let me just share this anyway. First, we need to see what God sees. John 4:35. See not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. The church, we must visualize. Can we see what Jesus sees? Then our hearts should be burdened for the lost. In Matthew 9:37-38, then saith unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. We, the church, must agonize. We shouldn't be satisfied only of our own salvation when people are hell bound. You see, God's will is the evangelization of the lost world. And if we ignore missions, then we are opposed to his will. Christian broadcaster Alan Cairn said this: it's never too soon to repent. But there will come a day when it is too late to repent. And there will come a day when it is too late to evangelize. The supreme task of the church is the evangelization of the lost world here and abroad. When God loved, he loved the world. When the Father gave, he gave his Son for the world. When the Son died for the world. God's mission is the world. Again, not all of us are called to travel overseas to be missionaries, because you have your own mission field wherever you may be. Sometimes we go out on Sunday morning, Wednesdays, Sunday night, you know, you carry your Bible, but does your neighbor to the right and neighbor to the left and across the street know you're a Christian? We shouldn't neglect them. That is our mission field. Especially you have friends at work, at school. Though they know we are a believer. If you were saved late in life, does your grandchildren, your children, know you're a Christian? And if you are saved early in your life, did you call your mom, dad, grandpa, I got saved yesterday? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? See, we can have all this opportunity, but sometimes you just don't want to open our mouth. We're afraid. The Lord Jesus loved us, loved you, and this love must overflow. It must be shared. To conclude, Christ alone can save the lost world, but Christ employs all of us, you and I, his children, to point them to him. Someone must bring the gospel story to those who are willing and waiting to hear it. Why? Because missions is the passion of Christ. Missions is the hope of the condemned. And missions is our church's measuring scale for individual and world evangelization. Are we willing to get the gospel to some area of the world where Christ has not been preached? Without the gospel, man is helpless. Without the gospel, man is hopeless. Without the gospel, man is hellbound. You see, there are four options to those who have heard, even to those who are at home. There are four options that each one of us could do. First, pray. Right? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Second one is go. Go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Then give. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. But you must first give yourself. You 100% must give first yourself to God before you can even give anything. You first, your whole you. And then the other one is there any Air Force guys in here? In the Navy, we call them Air Force Salute. Well, you want Air Force Salute? Professor knows that. Air Force Salute is like, that's your other option. Do nothing. Mark 16:15 gives the marching orders. 2 Corinthians 5:14 provides the compelling internal motivation to why a Christian would undertake and consider personal and world evangelization. Here's the why. A few statistics, some more statistics. This is from JoshuaProject.net and LifeWheel Research and Barna Research. Approximately around 5,000, only 5,000 independent Baptist missionaries to more than 8 billion people. From within the USA, out of 3,144 counties, 932 doesn't have an independent Baptist church. 99 counties needs at least 50 independent Baptist church based on population. Virginia Beach, where I come from, is the largest city in Virginia. There are only 3 independent Baptist church. With 330 million U.S. population, there are only 11,000 independent Baptist churches. Average of 250 churches closes every year. 50% are newly planted churches. These are 2 and 5 years old churches. And it takes 2 years to install a new pastor. So you need to take care of Pastor Slater, that he doesn't go. Doesn't retire yet. That will take 2 years on average. 1 of 10 pastors retire yearly. In 2022, 42% thought of quitting the pulpit. 50% of all churches did not add one new member. Only 5% of churches grow due to conversion or baptism. See, I like numbers. Because that's where we measure. It's not about us. It's Jesus. We have to trust Him that all the things can be accomplished through Him, but we have to do our part. Here, locally, and abroad. We all have work to do. The Great Commission area, your Great Commission area of responsibility is Downers Grove. We, the missionaries, oh, we're outside there. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China, said this, and while in this, the Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed. Throughout my wife and I, and the other missionaries that you guys support, commit your earnest prayers and your partnership as we answer the Lord's call to bring the gospel to the uttermost part of the earth. Our God and our Father, Lord, thank you for the privilege, Lord, that we're able to present the burden that you have given us. Pray, God, Lord, that you'll be with us. Will you be with Market Manor Baptist Church as we move forward? Bless the leadership. Thank you, Lord God, for hosting this mission conference and being invited to be part of this. Again, Father, we thank you for what you're going to accomplish in the next few years of this church. And the ministry that you have given us. We ask all these things in Jesus' name.